Pink Whale Nuts Garage.
Hello, Pinkies. This is the Laughing Buddha coming at you with a very special, very live edition of the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And heading around the corner is our chief mechanic, the Faye Driver. Faye Driver?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
You know, this is a pretty special episode, isn't it, Faye Driver? Because we're all in the same province.
Exactly. I was actually going to ask you where you are right now, Laughing Buddha.
I'm actually in the Musings of a Tech Writer Studios, LLC, just across town from you, and we have some special guests along with us. You want to tell us who's joining us tonight?
Well, I'll tell you who I have sitting beside me in the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and that is...
Mr. Boo!
None other than Eric Boo. Hello, Eric.
Hi. We've had a lot of fun this afternoon. We've been cooking and playing with the dog and getting ready for the show. So it's been a lot of fun.
And who might you have sitting beside you, Mark?
Well, on my right, and she always is the very talented and beautiful Brenda Boo. And on my left, that pinky left, is the musing Mark. Mark in Canada.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
So, guys, I guess the lot of you, with the exception of Musing Mark and myself, you've all been traveling this week. Do you want to talk about your travels?
Sure. We have begun our Canadian invasion 2013. And Brenda and Eric arrived on very late Tuesday evening, and I arrived on Wednesday morning.
And so let me talk to Brenda for a minute here, Brenda and Eric. Brenda, how was your flight? You had a long one.
Well, the flight wasn't so long. It was the wait that was... atrociously long. It was unbelievably long. Not because of delays, but when we booked the flight, we thought, oh, we'll just have a little layover in Chicago. I don't think either one of us thought about 3 hours sitting in Chicago O'Hare Airport until we were at Chicago O'Hare Airport. So it was definitely lengthy.
Did you have fun, Brenda?
On that day? Well... It started at 1 in the afternoon, and it ended at 1 at night, and we gained 2 hours with the time zone. So that's a 14-hour commitment to get to the Canada. So under those circumstances, I'd say we fared pretty well. We didn't kill each other.
Well, when I met you at the airport, I was very impressed because I met you when we were at Pride 48, the two of you, Eric and Brenda, and... You had a very difficult journey at that point, and I was pretty much expecting sort of the same psychological state when I met you at the airport here, but you guys seemed to be quite all right, so good for you.
God.
I can't even remember, hun, what was the difference, you know, because when we flew from to Vegas, we had, we stopped in Denver, though. That's right. That's right. It was a long walk from one terminal to the next.
I think I was a little more nervous because I hadn't met anybody. And so I'd met Faye and Musing Mark. And this is the first time I met Laughing Buddha, though. But just that night at the airport, I didn't feel as intimidated because we had been doing Drive Time to Nopa together. So we've gotten to know each other. So I'd say that that's probably why I wasn't. It's fragile.
So, Laughing Buddha, how was your journey then?
I'm really lucky because I live in Minneapolis, which happens to be a Delta hub city, so I was able to secure a direct flight from Minneapolis-St. Paul to Vancouver, and it was an uneventful trip, and basically was about 4 hours in length or so.
4 hours.
So you had a cushy flight.
What? What?
Yes. Brenda doesn't think I'm really I really deserve to be here right now because I haven't put in my time. I haven't struggled as much as she has. So I'm just looking to her for guidance and support.
Well, let's say a little hello to Mark in Canada too. Well, before we get too far into the show, how are you doing there, Mark?
We're doing fine. We just had a great game of the match game DVD game.
We continued to cheat. I don't know if you remember that aspect of the game.
So, are you saying that Musing Mark won the rest of the games?
I won all three games. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
When a person buys the game and then owns the game and then wins all the games, makes you think.
Must be cheating.
Must be cheating.
I've never played this particular version of the game. And then he goes on to smoke everybody.
I only played, yes, I did play, I didn't review any of the answers for the rounds we were doing. So
it's natural for you to think like, Peter Sellers in 1973. That's it, right?
Hmm?
That didn't make any sense. Edit!
This is a live show, Brenda.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
And then we played Jenga.
Oh.
And that was fun. And then we ate some cookie butter and
so much cookie butter.
Well, weren't you guys having a nice time while Eric here was slaving away in the kitchen?
Did I hear her say wah?
Yeah. Pretty
much. I was in the kitchen of Gush.
Kishella. She gets around. She's a bit of a whore.
Well, speaking of whores, let's talk about who's in joining us here on the Pride 48 chat room. We are live right now on pride48.com. If you're listening to the stream, you can come over to pride48.com, go into the chat room and join the other couple of fellers who are there. Eric, do you want to tell us who's joining us?
Yes, we are proud to welcome into the chat room number one Funky Monkey and RT Cruiser. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
And I'm pretty sure that number one Funky Monkey is number one Funky Homo from Gavin's show, Poke It With a Stick. So thanks for joining us, guys.
I like it. He says, laugh out loud, F you, baby, laugh out loud. So thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. And no, I don't feel like a Mexican sneaking north. Although when we were crossing the border, Faye was very clear that we have never been to a farm. We're not coming from a farm, and that's the, you know, and we both replied, we're from Iowa. It's one giant farm. So, yeah, well, so that was my only.
So, guys, we should probably get to the content of the show, but so overall, I just want to know, has your visit to Canada been okay so far? Are you having a good time?
Yes, we're having an amazing time. And your hospitality, well, is internationally renowned at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Mark in Canada and I thank you. We're glad you're having a good time. That's why mm-hmm. we're here, to make sure your every need is met.
Mm-hmm. And the garage was in good order. And I can honestly say that I am now, I have driven the spy car, and Brenda got to drive in the sports car, although I'm a little jealous on that part. So,
but you'll all get your turn eventually.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, I guess we should get to the show. I have quite a bit of content for the show tonight. We have several email questions. Of course, the Pink Wheel That's Garage has been offline. We haven't had a show in about one full month because, you know, we've been preparing the country of Canada for our very dignified visitors. So we've been awfully busy here, haven't we, Mark, in Canada?
Yes, we have. I made ice cubes and everything.
It's very clean here. It's very clean.
Can I say just a quick anecdote, Faye, about what made me know I was out of America and into Canada?
Yeah, go ahead.
I saw a bus that was out of service, and a lot of times they have the little banners on top, and it'll just say out of service. And instead it said, sorry, out of service. I was like, I'm not in America anymore.
There was also some issues with the train that we took after dinner last night back here to the Musings of a Tech Writer studios, and Mark in Canada apologized for the trouble with the transit system all the way back here.
Yes, it was my fault.
Where'd you take ownership?
I told you to make sure the trains were running properly.
It just fell off the list. I had to make the ice cubes.
Okay, well, let's get to some questions here. We've had a couple of questions come in via email from some of our listeners. And so I want to get into that because I think it might be some interesting discussion for us. So we did get a question from Prairie Dog. And Prairie Dog was looking to buy a new car. And I'm going to read an email. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's got some good information in it. And then maybe we can all give our 2 cents on what we think Prairie Dog should do. So here we go. Faye, I have a question, possibly for discussion on your Pink Wheelers Garage podcast. My partner and I are in need of a second vehicle, as he just got a job that requires a half-hour commute. We currently have a 2006 Honda CR-V, and a 200cc Aprilia scooter. Prairie Dog, I'm going to summarize this a little bit. Prairie Dog wants to get a 2013 Honda CR-Z. I would say CR-Z, but no, really it's a CR-Z. It's called a sport hybrid, a really fun little two-seater. Although it's build as a sports car, it gets great mileage, it's cheap to insure, it's pretty attractive, and he says he might be having a midlife crisis and wants to have something fun and different. His partner says that they should get a 2013 Honda Civic two-door, not a hybrid, which is a small car, has rear seats and a good trunk. He wants a sunroof. He just thinks, Prairie Dog just thinks it's kind of ho-hum and mainstream. He's also wondered about a Volkswagen, maybe a Volkswagen Bug or a Golf. And then the other thing is, he's also looked at the Subaru Crosstour, a nice little SUV. My partner says it's just a jacked-up Impreza. I could live with an Impreza. However, Subarus are bit hard to buy in the southern U.S., very little selection at the dealers, and expect to pay full price. Anything else we might consider? So, guys, what do you think? Should he get the Honda CR-Z, little two-seater sports car, or should they go for the Civic or a Subaru Impreza, which would be an all-wheel drive? I'll go to Mark the Laughing Buddha first.
I'm a little confused. Now, this second car is for his partner, or...?
Yeah, so they have one car right now. They need a second car, since now the two of them need to travel to work.
Okay, if the partner is going to be driving this vehicle, I think, you know, it should fall to...
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think it's for the partner, because I think the partner is going to continue to drive the car he always drives to work.
Oh, I see.
And okay, Prairie Dog will get the car for his own use.
I see.
So Prairie Dog wants a car for his own needs.
You know, this is one of those things where a relationship mediation agent would be a good investment. You know, I think there's some compromise. There are a lot of interesting vehicles that are out there that are different, that are a little snappy and more fun to drive. I think, you know, they should find a happy medium You know, so, you know, for me, I tend to fall more towards the utilitarian and, you know, efficiency rather than luxury or looks. And we were having a conversation earlier over lunch, Faye, about you can't have both. You can have one or you can have the other. So I think it's up to them to decide which is more important. Is it the utilitarian use of it or is it the looks? So I think that's what they need to figure out.
But I think utilitarian can still be fun. You know, if they already have a CRV, so they have a good SUV for doing the, you know, going to the lumber yard or going to get groceries or whatnot.
Winter driving.
You know, to have something fun like the CRZ or, you know, he mentioned the Subarus. Oh, there's a couple different Subarus that are good. I wouldn't necessarily get a Bug. If I got a Golf, I'd get a GT. To me, the idea of getting a Civic is conformity, because how many different Civics are out there? I mean, they're just everywhere. Yeah, they're good vehicles. They sell extremely well. They have good reliability. We have one. But, you know, we stumbled on ours, and if you have the opportunity to find something fun, take it.
Yeah. Mark in Canada or Brenda?
I would say I don't have much of an opinion about this, I guess. I don't think it's I don't know.
Well, you have a Honda Civic, Brenda. You drive your Honda Civic.
Yeah.
And you know what the Honda CRV is, right?
Right.
Which is the little SUV. If you had a CRV and a Civic,
I would go for the CRV because I like the storage capabilities. I agree with Eric. The Honda Civics at one time were the highest number of car that was ever stolen. Commonly stolen car was a Civic. Mm. I don't know if that's just because there's more of them or what.
But those are older Civics. The newer Civics aren't as susceptible to the theft as the older ones were, like the 1990s era.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mark in Canada, do you have any thoughts on the style of vehicle that one should get?
I would go with the Honda Civic, yeah, because I think they're fairly reliable and they have a good resale value.
Right. So, yes. Okay. Well, here's what I think.
This is not what I think.
You're all wrong.
No.
No, I have to agree with Eric. I think they should keep the Honda CR-V and have a good utilitarian, reliable, all-wheel drive vehicle and go for the fun. Get a fun car. Have a fun, zippy little, kitschy little car that brings some joy to their life. And then use the first car, you know, for the dull jobs.
You know, they're in the southern U.S., so from a climate standpoint, they're not going to deal with a whole lot of snow and ice. It'd be one of those vehicles where if they had the opportunity to get a sunroof or a moonroof or a convertible, go for it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm going to fill you in on a little detail. Does anybody have any other thoughts on this choice for Prairie Dog?
Well, if it's fun we're going for, I would go with a Fiat 500.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know, actually, one of our faithful listeners, John from the Dark Forest podcast, just bought a Fiat 500, and he is absolutely loving it. And we're going to have him on a future show to talk about it.
We should say RT Cruiser in the chat room made a good point. If you don't need all-wheel drive, it's just commuting. Any small sedan would do. He himself, he would choose the Dodge Dart, and the new Dodge Dart is a fun little car. That would be exactly kind of what we've been saying. Of course, then number one Funky Monkey said a 68 Dodge Dart, right, which is a little bigger. A lot of fun, though. So,
okay, so let's zip forward into the future because I have some interesting news to share. Because Prairie Dog emailed me later, since we were too slow to respond to the prairie dog. And this is what happened. Faye, this is an email I'm reading from the prairie dog. As it turns out, my car search has been completed. Sadly, I didn't buy the CRZ. This is me speaking. My heart was broken. My heart was broken, prairie dog. Prairie dog continues. However, I am excited about what I did buy. I hadn't thought too much about the Subaru Impreza. I had originally went to the dealer to look at the Cross Tour SUV, which is a crossover, you know, halfway between an SUV and a sedan. So he talks a little bit. He felt the Cross Tour wasn't a good price since they already had the SUV in their Honda. He looked at the other Subaru options, got a good rate, 0.9% APR, and so he ended up buying, what is it, the Impreza 2.0i Sports Premium Hatchback. It has a nifty sports package, bigger alloy wheels with sporty tires, all-weather mats, the Subaru boxer engine, and a CVT transmission with paddle shifters, fog lights, all-wheel drive. So he got a really good price, almost close to dealer invoice at 0.9% interest, and I think he's quite happy with it. And he sent pictures of it, and it looks like a pretty nice car. So there you go, folks. All that advice you gave him was all for naught.
But he did choose one for fun. He just happened to come across one that met all the criteria. So yeah,
that's great. So congratulations, Prairie Dog, on getting your new 2013 Subaru Impreza Sports Premium Hatchback. All right, a round of applause for anybody want to follow up with any thoughts for Prairie Dog on his choice?
We don't know what color it is.
It's silver.
Oh, okay.
It's a good car.
And I think he'll be quite happy with it. All right, well, let's carry on then, I guess. We'll go to a different question. I have a question from Kathy Bacon. This is specific to me, I guess. Kathy Bacon asks, do you only wear black nail polish? And do you wear sunglasses when you drive? And do you ever stop to smell the roses to photograph the scenery? I imagine it to be scenic. Kathy Bacon. Brenda, perhaps you can comment on this. What were we doing today?
Well, everybody should know that Faye and I had a mani-pedi today, and I know for a fact that he only doesn't just do black nail polish. Today he went with a very festive charcoal gray with glitter in it, right?
Is that what you call it? Yep.
And it was my first mani-pedi. It was, despite my bubble being broken in two, it was very nice. And I have lovely fingernails.
Can you just describe for us what you mean by your bubble being broken? That sounds a little sexual.
I mean, having a stranger that close to me, touching my toes and my fingers,
right,
and massaging. She did one thing that was wonderful. She cracked my toes individually. She pulled all the knuckles on my toes. It felt really good. But to answer her question, no, he wears other colors than black.
Right.
But
go ahead.
I was just saying, but today he went with a clear on his fingernails.
Yeah. And I do wear sunglasses when I drive, and I once or twice would stop to smell the roses. And I'm not much on photographing scenery. But it is very scenic, as our guests here in Canada can tell you. What do you think of the scenery around here? Eric, I'll ask you.
You know, your car is so wonderful and drives so well, so I will say, in all honesty, when I was awake, it was picturesque. Oh, I loved when we drove to the ferry and then took it up to the cabin on the island. That was some great scenic views. So, and it's been, you know, coming from the big old little city of Cedar Rapids, coming to Vancouver has been just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mark the Laughing Buddha, any comments on scenery?
Yes. I live in Minnesota, which is also relatively flat. So seeing Vancouver being surrounded by these very majestic mountains, it's just breathtaking to me because, you know, there are more than just big hills around. So it's very picturesque. And also, the first night that we were here going to the ocean side was really a treat. So, yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. When I left Minnesota, it was still winter, so being thrust into immediate spring has just been such a treat.
Yeah, as Mark in Canada can attest, our weather here has been quite lovely this last week, at least the last couple of days you were here and a little bit before that, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it was raining up until maybe a week ago, so it cleared out for the booze and for the Laughing Buddha. The Lord was smiling on us. Praise be.
Turn your hymnals to number 273 as we pass around the offering plate.
Can I tell your listeners that I got to stick my feet into the Pacific Ocean? And I was highly motivated to do this, but the temperature was so cold, I could do it for less than a minute.
Yeah, it's ice water.
It was. And we saw purple starfish all over this dock at this place where we stayed. And, I mean, there wasn't just one. There was a lot of them. It was really cool. And we saw these teeny tiny jellyfish. It was quite an experience for me. And I could hear the fish flopping out in the water. It was really incredible.
Speaking of fish flopping out of the water, that Peter G has joined us in the chat room. So we say hi to that fish from a little south of the border and say greetings.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter. Okay, hey, so Peter. Let's go on. We have another question here. I want to talk about our question from Jim from Wilmington. Now, Jim has just recently purchased a 2013 BMW X3.
Great car.
And he has this to say about it. Is everything okay then, Brenda?
What? Yes.
You worry me, honey. You worry.
Why? What are you hearing?
I hear you go. I was like, okay.
Well, he keeps sticking it in my face.
Well, we have a question. We have a question from that Peter G.
Did Brenda eat the sushi? Well, Peter G. Well, Brenda, to be honest, you had seaweed though.
Oh yes. The biggest mouthful of seaweed you've ever seen. Choked it down and I asked for more. No, I didn't eat any sushi. I ate vegetables, which is usually, you know, outside my normal palate. But no, there was no fish eaten.
Did you eat any of the vegetable rolls? I don't remember seeing you eating any of those.
What?
Of the sushi, like with the avocado?
No. Yeah. Anything that's seaweed. I took a little bite of it and it was nasty and I couldn't chew it. I chew it and it just kind of rolled around my mouth.
And Peter G says, shocking that you even ate veggies. I just was smiled and let her eat her vegetables, Peter G. But I should say that most of them had been deep fat fried.
Yeah, they were covered in breading. They were the best kind.
Tempura sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
So good.
Does Mark in Canada want to tell us where we were and why we were there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were at a Japanese restaurant in downtown Vancouver called Toyama, and we were there because yesterday was my actual real birthday.
Happy birthday again.
Yay. So that's why we were there.
Faye, what did you get Mark for his present?
I'm sorry, I just read what number one funky monkey, Brenda, is seaweed like eating nasty fish tank? Yes, actually, I would say that's what she was
scraping off the side and eating it.
Yeah, like a placostomus would eat. Exactly.
Algae or something.
Mm-hmm. I guess he's not going to answer that question.
No, I was going to just say, Brenda, to answer your question, I got Mark some award-winning cinema.
It looks like it's of the highest quality.
It was such high quality, he didn't want to bring it out in the restaurant and make everybody jealous. It was that high quality.
But I tore open the paper just a little bit, and I could see a donger just staring out at me.
Is that something in Canadian that I don't understand?
A donger?
Yeah, is that like a boat, like a dinghy?
No, that's a Midwest. I heard it. I've heard this spoken of in the United States.
So it's a boat.
Not exactly.
Well, actually, Peter G. says, Mark, why do you have two birthdays? Are you like Her Royal Highness Queen Elizabeth II?
Well, I did put my birth date on Facebook is a little dubious because I had heard stories about people stealing your identity based on your birth date. So it's a couple days off.
I've already charged a few items under your name, so hope that's not a problem.
Stay out of my credit card drawer.
All right, let's get back to Jim from Wilmington.
Talking about cars.
That's one of the things I got was a car. Happy birthday, Mark.
And his BMW X3. Okay, so here it is. His 2013 BMW X3 has a start-stop feature. This feature turns the engine off instead of idling when stopped in traffic. This is a gas-saving feature. The engine will restart when you take your foot off the brake or turn the steering wheel, or if the vehicle needs power for something like the air conditioning. Do you think this feature will cause unnecessary wear and tear to the starter or other engine parts? You can turn that function off if you want, but you have to do so every time you turn on the car. So that's from Jim from Wilmington, a recent new listener to the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast. Does anyone have any information on this?
I don't like it when cars shut themselves off. It reminds me of Carrie or something like that.
Changes the radio station.
I find it dubious.
Yeah. It's a little unsettling. I have driven this car with that feature in it, and it does take some getting used to, but I have to say, I quickly grew accustomed to it, and I didn't find it too unsettling. I got used to it after a while. It definitely does create a little jolt. It makes the car shudder a little bit. And to answer his question, I would be concerned because you're always engaging in this particular BMW, the starter motor engages to start the car up again. Some other cars use some different functions for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to be replacing a starter prematurely, but you know, which is not to say, I mean, starters are a fairly simple machine. They don't break down too often, I wouldn't think, but I wouldn't be surprised. Any comments?
You know, BMW is pretty innovative. I mean, and they're a pretty solid make. I mean, your issues that you had have been minor, really. He nods. But again, I'm going to go with you on this. I would just soon have the car running. I mean, because when you're idling, you're not making that much. You know, you're not burning that much extra gas.
Yeah. Mark, or Brenda, any comments?
I'll let you field this one, Mark. Go ahead.
I don't really have an opinion on it because my car is so primitive. I can't even imagine some of these features.
No. Yeah, I have to push mine out of the garage and start it that way.
I have to put my feet underneath it, you know, through the...
You Fred Flintstone.
Like Fred Flintstone, yeah. How about you, Mark?
I really don't think for the average commuter in an average city would benefit too much from that feature. Now, like, say somebody in California who has, you know, a lot of traffic that's at a standstill for significant periods of time, perhaps, but I wouldn't see myself really needing that feature.
Well, I have to say, the BMW advertising line is that you save an average of 13% on fuel with this feature. And there's a question in the chat room. Peter G. asks, when does it shut off? I don't understand. What will happen is, after the car has warmed up sufficiently, the engine has gotten warmed up, when you come to a complete stop at a stoplight, the engine turns itself off. The everything else in the car remains running. The radio works, the heat works, you know, the lights stay on, all the other stuff continues to function as normal. And then when the light turns green and you're ready to go, you put your foot on the gas and the car magically starts up on its own and away you drive away. And if for the most part, it's seamless. Your acceleration isn't affected. The car anticipates your needs. It's running by the time you get your foot on the gas pedal. So I found it to be quite efficient. But they're saying that, you know, 13% fuel savings, and when you're paying $4 to $5 a gallon for gas, 13% of that can be quite a savings, right?
Mm. Yeah, I could see that, but who funded that study?
Right. Fair enough. And, you know, I on one sense I agree, because the cars we run today with all the electronic ignition and the sensing of the emissions and all that stuff, an idling car in this day and age doesn't put out the kind of hydrocarbons that RT Cruiser's 74 Chrysler does when it's idling at a stoplight. So, you know, I'm sure the savings are minimal. But, you know, we could talk about the political ramifications of this if you want to get into that.
78 RT Cruiser, correct, did you?
Sorry, I always get the year of his car wrong. I apologize immensely.
It's a big boat is what it is. And I love it. But let's not be mistaken. It's right. It's huge.
Get it right, Faye, for Christ's sake. Do you want to talk about why? Why is BMW putting these kind of cost-saving features into these vehicles?
Just another convenience, I suppose, and the rising cost of gas.
No, it's a political move because they want their customers to see that they care about the environment, because the environment in this day and age is a big selling point. They want their customers to believe that BMW is trying to save them money by giving them more efficient cars. And, you know, if you, in all these cars now, they've got these teeny little engines with these 8-speed automatic transmissions to try and get the fuel. Everyone is going for fuel consumption because all the auto manufacturers are trying to compete with these quote-unquote hybrid cars and electric cars, and everyone is stating in their advertising they're getting 41 miles per gallon, and so everyone's trying to attain this goal, and this is one of the methods that they can do that. They advertise in this fashion.
I'm chuckling because you say that they're being political, and you know, BMW, you really shouldn't go too far back into politics with that company. There's a lot of high-stepping and, you know, other things that was happening. Political. Stay away from the political stuff with BMW. Mm-hmm. You will buy this car.
Any other comments?
No, I think we should take our next item on our little breakdown here so we can get to everything. I like Scotty's question. Why don't you read that one?
Shall I?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. All right. The next one down. Hi, Faye. My question is, what cars are best for having sex in the front seat? Or what car should I buy that's able to accommodate a broad Samoan and a fat white guy comfortably inside for bonking? Thank you.
That's from Scotty, the little Aussie battler. Does anyone have any recommendations for Scotty? Let's go to the musings of a tech writer studio there. Brenda?
What?
When was the last time you had sex in the front seat of a car?
The front seat? Never. And the back seat?
Go ahead.
Back seat would have been 1981.
What kind of car was it?
Oh, it leaked oil. It burned oil. What was it? I don't know. Some big tank my loser boyfriend had. It wasn't very comfortable, I'll tell you that. I would say the best kind of car to get to have sex in the back seat would be something with a hatchback that you can lay down the back.
The seats.
Yeah. And give you plenty of room, and with the window configuration, you could have your ass up in the air and get everybody a nice view. At least one of you guys is butt up in the air, like you just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say go for one with a hatchback.
Okay, Mark?
Well, let me say what's not comfortable.
Oh, experience, speaking of.
This happened to be, probably in the mid-80s, and it was a Pontiac Sunbird hatchback, but we were in the front seat. So it was an automatic, and it had that shift selector on the floor, and that kind of got in the way of things, or at least in my right rib cage.
Well, they don't have cars with bench seats anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say those bench seats were really good for canoodling.
And snuggling as you drove.
Yeah, now everything is so individual.
Yeah.
I correct you on this? They do still manufacture bench seats in pickup trucks. So you could go. Now, my personal favorite would be the International made a pickup truck that celebrity Ashton Kutcher has. It's as big as like almost a semi-tractor trailer. That way you could have two fairly sizable men in there tearing at each other, and you're high enough up that you could actually be driving down the road or in a place, and most people would not be able to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have a couple of comments from the chat room as well. A school bus has bench seats, according to that Peter G.
And now, would you pick the little bus, Peter G?
Now, Peter G needs a fleet of buses.
Right. He needs a goddamn fucking airplane to what he needs.
And RT, I'm responding to the question that was given to me because he said two guys. So he says, I like that Eric goes for two guys. It's a Samoan, and I'm just answering the question. So.
What about an El Camino? That'd be nice.
Party in the back.
Mm-hmm. I like a mullet. Front. Business up front. Party in the back. Oh, that's a mullet.
What he really needs is he needs to touch base with RT Cruiser, who's already in Australia, and RT Cruiser can point him in the direction of some really good shaggin' wagons, as they say. with something from 1978, possibly. A nice, big, large boat.
Yeah. Just ask to borrow his car. He's got two of them.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he's not driving the other.
Apparently one of them's broken, though, but we'll get into that.
It doesn't need to run.
Oh, right.
Need to get it somewhere.
Yeah, just go inside, wherever. So.
Well, on that, a bit of sex advice from the mostly knowledgeable sex advice advisors here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. I think we'll bring this episode to an end. Does anybody else have any comments to leave behind before we shut her down tonight? Anybody, do you want to tell us what you're looking forward to do in the next few days while you're still in Canada. How about that?
Just hang out. We've been having so much fun. We're going to be doing a little bit of everything. So
we have been kind of on the run, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to visiting a historic neighborhood called Gastown. And also there happens to be a Chinese garden that's based on a scholar's garden back in one of the dynasties. So I'm looking forward to seeing that as well.
I'm looking forward to the scouring of Faye's house from top to bottom that he'll be forcing me to do here shortly to pay for my
lodging. Don't ask what he's asked me to do. I can't say.
All right, and moving right along then, so let's bring this show to a close. Eric, do you want to tell us where we can find you?
Well, you can find me on our radio station website, kmryradio.com.
And Mark in Canada?
Yes, you can find me at musingsofatechwriter.com. My podcast is also Musings of a Tech Writer, available on iTunes.
And Brenda, where can we find you?
Hello again, it's BrendaBoo.com, which features Mark in Canada in Doc Talk, features Faye Driver in Drive Time Chinopa, and then a personal journal driver or whatever. And then Life on the Shit List. That's LOTSL, which is Peter G's on that with me, and as well as Mark.
Yes.
And Wes and Toppy and Jay.
All right. And we'll just say hello and thank you to those people who joined us in the chat room. Eric, do you want to let us know?
Well, Crone came in a little late, but we don't want to leave him out. So welcome, Crone.
Crone is a girl. So
that's fine. Thank you so much. Doesn't say number one, Funky Monkey, RT Cruiser, and that Peter G.
And I am the Faye Driver. Of course, you can find me on the pinkwheelnuts.com website for the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast and this show, the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And the man who always has the last word on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, it is the Laughing Buddha.
I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight here at the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage. And you can find me online at thescooterdiaries.net. So thanks for listening. Until next time, do take care. Faye, take us out.
I'll break what I want.
Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.